It is Wednesday, July 12th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, U.S. President Donald Trump disputes accounts of his White House in chaos because of his son's meeting last year with a Russian lawyer. We get reaction.
This is the most credible, direct, significant evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians.
The Kremlin Sputnik Radio will broadcast alternative news to Washington, and actress and singer Haley Steinfeld releases a new single aimed at girls' empowerment. It's all ahead. U.S. President Donald Trump says the White House is functioning perfectly. He challenged accounts that it's in chaos from his eldest son's disclosure of how he met last year with a supposed Russian government lawyer who offered incriminating information about Hillary Clinton, Trump's Democratic election opponent. The news accounts describe the president as fuming while he watched News Channel reports about Donald Trump Jr.'s email chain with an intermediary for the lawyer as they set up a June 2016 meeting in Trump Tower in New York. In one Twitter comment, he complained without elaboration, "Why aren't the same standards placed on the Democrats? Look at what Hillary Clinton may have gotten away with. Disgraceful." Earlier, Trump renewed his campaign that questions about links between his presidential campaign and Russia amount to the greatest witch hunt in political history. Numerous U.S. investigations are underway about Russia's meddling in the 2016 election, including allegations that Trump's campaign colluded with Russian interests to help him defeat Clinton. I spoke with Alan Lichtman, professor of history at American University, and asked him about the implications of the younger Trump's meeting with a Russian lawyer on his father's presidency.
I think it very directly affects his father as president. This is the most credible, direct, significant evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians. I'm not a lawyer, but there are lawyers who think several federal crimes may be implicated in what he has done. Moreover, it is quite clear that he knew exactly what he was getting into when he went to this meeting because he was informed he would be meeting with someone who was, in essence, an agent of the Russian government. And the way the Russians work, they don't work like us. They have lots of people who are just agents, even though they have no official position in the government. So he knew he was meeting with someone in the government. He was informed that the Russians would trying to help the Trump campaign, and that they would have information, dirt on Hillary Clinton that would be helpful to the campaign. Instead of being appalled and going to the FBI, he was delighted to hear this. And he brought with him the highest official of the Trump campaign, Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, and Paul Manafort, the campaign manager. And by the way, he concealed this for a year until he was caught, quote-unquote, red-handed by the so-called fake media. And then even after he was caught, he lied. And he finally came clean only after he was caught again by the so-called fake media.
And I believe President Trump has said he was unaware of this meeting.
Of course he's going to say that. You know, just like Donald Trump Jr. said, nothing went on in this meeting. Well, you know, if you want to put your fortune and your life at stake on the truthfulness of what Donald Trump has to say, good luck. This is the same guy who thought 3 to 5 million illegal voters swarmed the polls and all voted for Hillary Clinton, an absolute fantasy. The same guy who said Barack Obama wiretapped his phones, an absolute fantasy. You can't put any credibility in what Donald Trump says because the truth doesn't matter. What matters to Donald Trump is what serves him at the moment.
What about those who say, though, you know, one meeting does not make a conspiracy, and that during campaigns, all kinds of campaigns, people are going to go to people who are involved in campaigns and say, I've got dirt on your opponent? I mean, that happens, certainly does happen a lot.
Of course. But I've studied campaigns now for 5 decades, and I cannot recall a single example of a campaign being informed that an agent of a foreign power has dirt on your political opponent, and the top officials of the campaign were then delighted and happy to meet with an agent of a foreign power to get information that would be relevant to manipulating the election. And by the way, I'm not a lawyer, but, you know, I've studied campaigns for a long time, and my understanding is it's not legal to solicit anything of value from a foreigner. And clearly, opposition research is something of value, something you have to pay for. So this could well be action that run afoul of federal law. And there are other federal laws as well that could be implicated. I'm supposed to be negotiating as private citizens, and that's what they were, with agents of a foreign power.
And this also involves not just any foreign power, but it involves Russia, which has been an adversary of the U.S., I guess we could say, you know, for a long time.
Russia's been an adversary of the U.S. for a long time. At the time of this meeting, it was well known that, you know, there were possible Russian, not well known, but at least it was suggested that there was possible Russian interference and collusion in the election. And this is not an isolated incident. As we know, what the Trump team has been engaged in is a Nixon-style cover-up. Conceal, deny, delay, deflect. Why? And then in the court, say, oh, it was all innocuous anyway, just like the Nixon team said Watergate was nothing but a third-rate burglary. We are talking about a whole host of top officials in the campaign, and even in the administration, who lied about their contacts, or at least covered up their contacts with the Russians. Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General of the United States. Michael Flynn, the former National Security Advisor. Jared Kushner, top advisor to the president. And they either concealed or lied about contacts with the Russians, not to mention many of our lesser figures in the campaign, like Carter Page.
Alan Lichtman, professor of history at American University. Well, joining me here in the studio is social media editor Andrew Pelshevsky. So, Andrew, what's happening?
Well, one of the names trending today on social media is Christopher Wray. He's a former Justice Department official in the George W. Bush administration, but he is President Trump's nominee to head the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And so he is on Capitol Hill today for confirmation hearings, and we're seeing a lot of attention on some of his answers, a lot of which deal with Russia and Donald Trump Jr.'s emails. One heated exchange, which I saw in numerous video clips on social media, involved Senator Lindsey Graham reading portions of Donald Trump Jr.'s emails to Wray, and then asking him whether or not Donald Trump Jr. should have taken the meetings that he did, whether elected officials, if they're contacted by foreign governments, should call the FBI, and what the FBI's role should be in that. So lots of attention on that, lots of attention on Russia, and attention on Wray himself. People looking up Christopher Wray's political donations and finding that he's donated money to several of the senators who were on the committee hearing his confirmation. So people questioning already his impartiality. Many other people, however, defending him, saying he's a very talented investigator, lawyer. He's served, as we said, in the Justice Department before, so he knows government. But lots of debate on that confirmation hearing as that continues. And I have no doubt we'll see more of those moments pop up as the confirmation hearing continues.
I'm sure.
Yes, as they always do. And also trending today, hashtag net neutrality. And that's because tens of thousands of websites across the internet, including some very big names like Amazon, Facebook, Twitter, Google, Netflix, are all teaming up to defend net neutrality, the idea that the internet should not be restricted based on user or content or service. So they're teaming up today with this hashtag net neutrality campaign, trying to get people to sign up and call the FCC, contact the FCC, which is the Federal Communications Commission, and encourage them to keep the internet open. So we're seeing that big concerted effort across the internet and social media today.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Andrew. That's social media editor Andrew Pelshevsky. Here are some of the top news stories trending. President Trump is headed to Paris, a city that he has said is dangerous. Kurd fighters rescued dozens of civilians in Raqqa, but thousands more are trapped. Four are arrested in connection with a gold coin heist from a museum in Berlin. And as we heard, President Trump's pick to head the FBI pledges an impartial pursuit of justice. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the VOANews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
A Cambridge University-led team of astronomers say they've discovered the smallest star that has been measured so far. the tiny sun was calculated to be a little larger than Saturn and is the smaller of the two stars in a binary system located about 600 light years away. The team was able to identify the mini star as it transited or passed in front of its larger companion. It's the same detection method used by scientists to find exoplanets. They use the facilities of the UK's WASP exoplanet detection program. The astronomers say they think the star is probably the smallest size possible for it to have enough mass to sustain the hydrogen fusion needed to become a full-fledged star and not a brown dwarf or failed star. Details of the astronomers' findings are to be published in the journal Astronomy and Astrophysics. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, singer Haley Steinfeld has a new single, and we'll hear all about it. Russian state-funded Sputnik Radio has started broadcasting in the Washington, D.C. area in a hoped-for first step in reaching more Americans with what it calls alternative news. Sputnik says it gives voice to minority views outside of mainstream media and supports an anti-establishment agenda. But as VOA's Daniel Scharf reports from Washington, critics say Sputnik functions as part of a Kremlin propaganda machine aimed at undermining Western institutions.
Russia's Sputnik Radio says its broadcasting into the Washington, D.C. area will allow Americans in the nation's capital to listen to them and not just to what is being said about them. Mindy Agabashvili is D.C. bureau chief for Sputnik Radio.
People heard a lot about us. Unfortunately, they couldn't really listen to us. And people who were reporting about us quite often wouldn't even bother to listen to us and present how they see us, present what we do accurately.
Sputnik and other Russian state-funded media claim they promote anti-establishment views outside of mainstream media, but not Kremlin propaganda. Many disagree, including Robert Ortung, a professor of international affairs at George Washington University.
At the end of the day, that's the purpose of these broadcasters, that's the purpose of Russian foreign policy in general, is to undermine our democracy, undermine the faith of the American people in their own institutions.
Sputnik fired its former White House correspondent, Andrew Feinberg, in May, who then became a vocal critic.
It's definitely propaganda. And the idea that they're being attacked by corporate media is ridiculous. They're being called out for reporting half-truths and, in some cases, lies.
Sputnik rejects the comments as those of a disgruntled former employee. Sputnik offers a platform to minority voices in the United States, but disavows fringe editorials it publishes online that tout conspiracy theories. Here is Mindy Agabashvili.
There's a disclaimer saying that opinions of contributors not always, you know, coincide with editorial line of Sputnik. They're free to do whatever they do.
While Sputnik's shows are critical of U.S. politics, policy, and society, their hosts, like Garland Nixon, dismiss mounting allegations in Washington concerning Russia.
The accusations, where they arise from, who doesn't matter to me. Once there's evidence, we can look at the evidence and evaluate that. But I am not going to buy into accusations, least of all from the people that they're coming from.
They also reject critics who say they are contributing to a Kremlin campaign against the West. Lee Stranahan, Nixon's co-host on Fault Lines.
If people want to criticize Russia, I have at it. That doesn't bother me in the least. When I've looked into it myself, Russia's not my biggest concern. I don't know how else to put it. Russia's not my biggest concern.
Sputnik says people should read, listen, and judge for themselves whether it is alternative news or Kremlin propaganda. Daniel Scherf, VOA News, Washington.
This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. Bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia, debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. That's Encounter, every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is International Edition. A young singer and actress is releasing a new single. VOA's Border Crossings host Larry London joins me to describe this multi-talented performer.
An actress who says her first love is music, and she's working on her first studio album right now. Her name is Hailee Steinfeld. And you may recall Hailee from True Grit, the remake with Jeff Bridges from 2013. She was only 13 at that time and received an Oscar nomination for her role as Maddie in the film, and also got a Golden Globe nomination for her acting abilities. And a few years later, she decided, well, you know, I've always loved music, so I want to pursue music. And she released a single at that time, which is called Love Myself. She says the song's about girl power, girl empowerment, true to the title, Love Myself. And then she followed that up with another hit in 2016 called Starving, which was produced by and featured EDM producer Zedd and did very well for her. And now she's back with a brand new single, and we're going to check it out right now. It's called Most Girls.
Some girls feel best in the tiny dresses. Some girls, nothing but sweatpants, looking like a princess. Some girls kiss new lips every single night. They're staying out late because they just celebrating life.
So does she see herself more as an actress or as a singer?
Well, honestly speaking, right now she says a singer. Although she's in the upcoming Pitch Perfect 3 film that's going to be opening soon, she had a role in Pitch Perfect 2, and it was so popular they brought her back for Pitch Perfect 3. But she is now saying music is her first love, music is her true passion. She hasn't released a studio album yet. She's had an EP, which she put out about a year ago, called Haze, which was her nickname growing up. And but she's in the studio working on a full studio album, which is where we find the song we heard today, Most Girls, which is a great song, up-tempo, dance music, happy music, and again, more female self-empowerment. That's the message that Hailee is right now pursuing with all her younger fans talking to the younger girls. You know, it's kind of stand up for yourselves. And so, I love her music, I love what she's doing, but I think she's got a bright acting future as well. She's been, as I mentioned, nominated for an Oscar and a Golden Globe at the age of 13. She's tremendously talented. Oh, yeah. And she was in a film last year that got critical raves called The Edge of 17. So, I mean, she's got a great future ahead of her in showbiz, shall we say, whether it be music or acting.
Yeah, and you never know. Musicals are kind of coming back a bit in movies, so maybe she can combine both.
And she's only 20.
Wow.
Don't you hate it? 20 years old.
All right. Thanks a lot, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossings.
Most girls work hard, go far. We are unstoppable. Most girls are fighting back every day. No two are the same. I want to be like.
And that, of course, is the music of Hailee Steinfeld. Well, in other news, scientists say an iceberg the size of Bali, Indonesia, has broken away from the continent of Antarctica. The iceberg, which is likely to be named A68, measures 5,800 square kilometers and weighs more than 1 trillion tons, making it one of the biggest on record. The process of the iceberg breaking off, known as calving, occurs naturally, although global warming is believed to have accelerated the event. The glacial mass has been breaking away from the Larsen Sea ice shelf for months. The iceberg was already floating before it broke away, so there's no immediate impact on sea levels. Scientists say it could, however, pose risks to ships now that it has broken off. Larsen C is called an ice shelf because while it's still attached to land, it is already floating off the coast of northwestern Antarctica. Well, a herd of Holstein cows was airlifted to Qatar in an effort to increase local dairy supplies as the Saudi-led boycott of the Emirate continues. The cows were flown in Tuesday from Budapest in a Qatar Airways cargo plane. It was the first of 60 flights that will bring more than 4,000 cows to the country. They're being imported by Montaz Al-Kayat, chairman of Power International Holding. The Doha businessman, whose main field is construction, saw an opening in the dairy industry as several Arab states closed the only land border to Qatar 5 weeks ago, severing the supply of fresh milk. The bovines were promptly transported to a massive new dairy operation 50 miles north of Dhaka. 5 weeks ago, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Egypt cut diplomatic and economic ties with Qatar, accusing the Emirate of funding extremism. Qatar has denied those allegations. Well, that is our show for today. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The UN Secretary General recently released his biannual report on implementation of UN Security Council Resolution 2231. In it, he confirmed that all parties, including Iran, are living up to their commitments under the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the nuclear deal agreed to by Iran, the EU, and the P5+1 countries. But when UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs Jeffrey Feltman presented the report to the Security Council, he focused on the resolution's other provisions as well, one of which calls on Iran to refrain from activity related to ballistic missile development. He noted that on January 29, 2017, Iran launched a medium-range ballistic missile, and that had followed a series of earlier ballistic missiles launched by Iran in March 2016. The sanctions outlined in Resolution 2231 also restrict Iran's arms transfer and export. UN Undersecretary Feltman reported that after analysis of a cache of weapons seized by the French Navy in the northern Indian Ocean in March 2016, it was determined that the weapons were of Iranian origin and had been shipped from Iran. In addition, Mr. Feltman noted that Iran's Defense Ministry organization again participated in Iraq's defense exhibition. U.S. Ambassador to the UN Nikki Haley said the Secretary General's report is filled with devastating evidence of the nature of the Iranian regime and documents the Iranian government's actions in defiance of Resolution 2231.
Repeated ballistic missile launches, proven arms smuggling, illicit procurement of ballistic missile-related technology.
She also observed that while Resolution 2231 requires states to prohibit the entry into their territory of certain individuals, like Major General Qasem Soleimani, chief of the IRGC's Quds Force, he has openly visited other countries.
We as the Security Council must stand behind the provisions of 2231. We must strictly enforce them and show Iran that we will not tolerate their egregious flaunting of UN resolutions.
The United States will do its part to implement Resolution 2231. It will also work with global partners to interdict prohibited cargo and continue to impose U.S. domestic sanctions on those who help Iran violate Resolution 2231. Iran's behavior and rhetoric are not those of a responsible member of the international community, said Ambassador Haley. The Security Council must recognize this fact and act accordingly.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.